always great to have new members joining this body and for us to take a moment in our services to just introduce them to you and also then to pray a prayer of releasing. That this isn't a body where, well, you've got to fit this slot. It's a body where there's room and there's space and permission for you to exercise and walk in what God's calling you. And so we're excited to do that today. As I read your name, if you'd stand up and just stay standing. And then if you're near one of those people, you can go over and stand next to them. And we're going to pray for them and just ask God's blessing upon them. So new members, Sarah Martin, just right over here. John and Sherry Billick. Nathaniel and Naomi Lockhart. Tyler and Amy Braun. Jennifer and Rob Druin. Guy and Julie Pelche. And David and Ashley Harrison, I think they're away this week. So if there's people standing in your vicinity, stand up, reach over, put a hand on them. We're just going to bless them for a moment. And just ask that God's Spirit would really bless the commitment that they're making to us. And that we in turn would serve them well in return. So just go ahead and pray for them. If you're not standing with them, just bless them from your seat. So, Father, we thank you for this really tangible, concrete evidence of that this is your body. This isn't our church. We're trying to make it something happen here. This is your body. You're growing it. You're expanding it. You're blessing it. And so we ask your favor and blessing, an outpouring of your Spirit on these, our new members. You would bless and release their giftings in our midst. That there's particular reason why they are here in this body at this time. And so we open our hearts, we open places for them to serve, to receive, and to minister alongside of us. And we thank you that our body continues to grow and be strengthened because you are the head. You are the one who feeds and commands it and directs it. And so we just are rejoicing in that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's welcome them, if you would. As I said, we're going to celebrate our School of Discipleship, Corpus Christi, this morning. And I just want to acknowledge the hard work that Pastor Ryan's put in. He's the person who's been leading that this year. And we've just really seen the favor of God. He's gifted Ryan with the ability to take a bunch of things and put them together in a package in a way that makes a great impact. It's not new stuff, but it's been packaged well, and God's favor and blessing has really been on that. And so we weren't expecting to talk about 50-plus students in Corpus this year, a year ago, and we thought, well, maybe we could have 20 or 25. That'd be great if we could do 25. But we've had a great year with these students, just loved walking with them. And so Pastor Rand's going to lead this part of the service for us.
Good morning. That is inappropriate for this service. Thank you. Well, it's good to be here this morning. And we have a lot to celebrate of what Jesus has been doing this year. And not only in this area, but across our church in the area of discipleship and in every corner, whether it's a demographic-based ministry or whether it's in our kids' catechism, like we saw the fruits of that last week, or in our worship department, all of these different areas, we are seeing Jesus further people's discipleship all across our church. And so we have a lot to celebrate today. And so today we are going to have a few people just share a little bit about their journey in the last year. And what they've seen Jesus doing. But just to give a quick overview, in your bulletin we do have this little insert, which kind of just gives you a little window into what it looks like to be a part of Corpus Christi, which is our discipleship school. And so We look to serve four main things. The first is identity. The second is calling, ministry and leadership. That in everything that we're doing, these are the things that we want to serve in your journey with Jesus. And so in our class this year, we had people ranging everywhere from 18 to in their 60s. We saw a wide array of people responding to Jesus' leading in this. And so it was really beautiful, I think, to see that it's not, just a few pimple-faced 18-year-olds like myself. But that we had people from every adult demographic responding to Jesus' leading in this. And so one of the interesting things that I've seen is, this is now our second year of doing it this way, is that there seems to be a shared story in all of us, that there is, each of us has our own unique journey and a unique story and unique things that we've experienced and been through, but in the middle of that, there's this, to use Todd's phrase, there's a golden thread that we seem to have in common. And I think for me, where I started to see that when I look back over the last few years, is that this is my journey. I think this is all of our journey, is that we've all shared in this piece that looks like rediscovering or discovering as if for the first time what this faith looks like and what it really means to be in Jesus. One of the things I like to do is I like to go for walks. In my non-busy seasons, it's something I do on a weekly basis. My walks are different than, say, Pastor Jeff's, where he summits anywhere between 1 and 3 mountains in a day. I've done one of those with him, and I met my maker there. And I truly understood for the first time what it means to hate somebody. So it's not really my style. I'm a pretty laid-back guy for the most part. So I like to walk, and I guess the place that I found, this sounds worse now that I say it like this, most comfortable, is I like to walk in the back alleys. I'd prefer if you didn't fill in the blank of what it means to find a back alley comfortable. If that means I'm a bum or what, but I was thinking about the other day, I'm like, what is it that I like so much about? Because I walk my community, but I stay in the back alleys. And I realize it's that they're real. I think it's an honest place. That there's something genuine back there that I enjoy seeing people's backyards. Maybe that's nosy. Maybe you think that's a good reason to build a higher fence now. But I think it's just part of who I am. It's part of my calling, is that it's not that I don't love nature, but I love people. I think, genuine expression of humanity. I think there's something about a back alley that does that for me, where I'm just at home, and this is the realness of who we are. And so I think in some ways a few years ago, I started to do that with my faith, with my Christianity, is to go back there and say, okay, what is it really like? Not the facade in the front, okay, not the well-trimmed yard that makes it look like everything's okay. Not just what I do on a Sunday, but what do I really believe, and do I really get this? And as I started to look in that way, I think I started to make some realizations about where I was at and what my Christianity was like. I think that what I discovered was that there was a lot of places untouched. that in my Christianity there was places that were never impacted by Jesus. That the gospel I knew, what little I knew about Christianity and about the gospel, didn't seem to be changing things in me. It wasn't transforming me on the inside. That the places of greatest need in me, it wasn't hitting. And it emphasized me and my works and my abilities instead of emphasizing Jesus and his works and what he accomplished. And so I had all these blind spots that I either didn't see or didn't know how to fix. And so I was a Christian without hope, a Christian without confidence, a Christian who felt totally alone at the core places of who I was. That I was a Christian that did not know victory. Did not know what it meant to conquer. Who always felt conquered. With wounds that you just feel like you have to cover up because there's no answer. There's no solution for those places. And fears that don't go away. You try to overcome or work up strength to be above them, but they don't break. And addictions, things that to medicate pain, disappointment, and discouragement. That I couldn't free myself from. So in the end, the gospel that I knew was not good enough news. And so it changed. When I came to church every Sunday, it was like watching an infomercial for a wonder product that never seemed to actually live up to what it promised in me. But everyone else is saying the product is good, so then the problem must be me. Which just compounds my hopelessness, my disconnect. It seemed as though it was a gospel that couldn't live up to the hype. I realized that these aren't statements that you tend to hear in church. But it's my back alley. It was as though I had enough information or direction to not be considered lost. But there's only one thing worse than being lost. And that's being close enough to see your destination, but unable to reach it. One time I was on a trip to Mexico and we stopped in Denver, Colorado. And I can't remember what stadium's called there. Anyway, what's that? Yeah, Mile High Stadium. So we went to it. We followed directions to find it. And we pulled it. We could see it. It seemed like we were really close. Oh, it's there. So we parked. We paid for parking. We got out of the van. And then we spent the next 3.5-4 hours trying to actually reach it. So we walked. We trudged around trying to find an opening into this place. We had tickets to go to it. We had rights to go into it. But all we could do was search for a door that would open. We would find a door and it would be locked. We would try another route and see the door and hit a fence. At one point, we tried to climb a fence and security quickly shut that down. It was almost as if my Christianity saw Jesus as this big stadium full of excitement and benefits and life-changing blessings. And I had a ticket, but I could not get in the door. And so knowing continually this is where Jesus is and this is all the benefits if you enter into him, we're hearing that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday actually began to hurt and disappoint and discourage me, because if it's all there, then there is something wrong with me. He can't get to me. And so there are different responses to that. They encourage me to just be content. So I'm to be content having this ticket, but still remaining on the outside. Or others would say, just try harder. At which I would say, okay, until I could not try harder anymore. Until I was out of energy and out of resources and out of new things to try. As a child of the 80s and 90s, what comes to mind for me is when you're playing a video game and you're stuck on a level and you can't figure out how to get out of it. It's like, I think I've done everything and been in every part of this level and I'm still here. Or when your character is just walking into a wall and not moving anywhere. That's what it felt like. Just go harder. This is as hard as I go. And then there's books in popular Christian culture that say, maybe this way. Maybe it's this way. Maybe try this. I won't read the text today, but in Acts chapter 2, you have Peter's first ever sermon. There's no maybes in his sermon. He uses this phrase throughout the text. This Jesus did this. This Jesus provides this. This Jesus. This one. Not maybe Jesus is like this. It's this Jesus. And our culture and our generation has moved away from absolutes and said maybes. Let's just ask questions. Questions without answers suck. It's not fun. It feels like it leads me down a path more dark than what I'm coming from. I don't need more questions about who he is. I need answers. And these 12 apostles have such a strong, confident, certain message of who Jesus is and what he accomplishes in us and for us, that the thousands that follow them are changed, and they get it, and they're different, and they're transformed. So much so that the culture of the day begins referring to them as the way, not the maybe or the one of many. They are the way. It's a certain path that you can count on. That does unequivocally promise, if you will receive, to change everything. Yeah. A reputation of that. And it was so good and so perfect and so powerful, they made it a tradition. Not because it was dead. Not because they thought, this is of such great value to us, let's make it meaningless so we just go through the motions. They made it something that they said, everyone must walk this path. It was called the apostolic tradition. And it works. It changes everything every time. So when we talk about this school, it's more of a community of people taking time to be intentional, to receive the most important parts of Jesus applied to the most important parts of them. The most important parts of Jesus applied to the most important parts of you. So we just want to give you a window into that today.
Before Corpus, my husband had just left me. I was feeling unwanted, rejected, unloved. 2 years ago, I couldn't have shared this.
For much of my life, I felt I was failing as a father in passing on my faith to my children.
I was suspicious of God, and I felt that I never measured up.
Before Corpus Christi, I was drowning in a false identity. My marriage was disjointed, and my faith was nothing but a struggle.
I was tired and weary, and I was a control fanatic.
I viewed myself as a failure.
I had to prove my worth by being better at everything.
I was so broken, I had no idea who I was.
Before Corpus, God was to me just sitting up on his throne waiting for me to fail. He was distant, unknown.
God had good plans for everybody, but me.
I was afraid he would leave me.
I believe God had a role in my business, but it was mostly theory. Head knowledge.
I knew it in my head, but not in my heart.
I wouldn't have said this out loud, but I probably perceived him as being judgmental, stern, and not very personable.
Holy, perfect, loving, but somehow untouchable.
Corpus is a place where I've been able to take the things from my head about Christ and have been able to place them deeper into my heart and to move them into practical application.
People around me have noticed that I am more peaceful, more content, happier than I was 2 years ago. I am free.
What is true of Christ is true of me.
This year, I've learned that I matter.
I'm learning to rest in Christ's righteousness.
I just get to receive and rest as a son.
I am the fullness of Christ in me.
Hi, Sophie. I'm his beloved daughter.
He is my comforter, provider, protector, security, my father.
I received a true revelation of Jesus.
God is the same, but my heart and understanding of him are changing.
God has changed me.
He has a plan for me.
God isn't just interested in my gifts. He's my father, and I matter to him.
Jesus is my everything.
He loved me first. I am welcomed into his presence.
Jesus fights my battles, and victory is mine.
I'd like to begin with inviting Lucille Akins to come forward and share about her year.
Good morning. The 50-something people in Corpus weren't the people over 50, by the way. Not that I'm over 50. All right. So I've been on a healing journey since ROL began having the Healing Heart conferences. So that's 2 or 3 years. So for me, sometimes there needs to be a dismantling of our beliefs in order for us to reconstruct around truth. So Corpus has been instrumental in doing this in my life. So if you picture a timeline, your journey, your life, and
I feel like sometimes we do this journey and we don't necessarily see everything that's happened in our lives. So it's like the Lord shines this light on a certain area of that journey. And he actually takes an old school picture of it. And we hold it in our hands. And we're intentional in looking at that picture and being aware of what it is that the Lord is trying to show you or, you know, show you in your picture. So Corpus has really been that for me, taking that time to take a look at where I've come, where I'm going, and what does Jesus think about that. So before taking Corpus, God was showing me the truth of his relationship to me as Father and that I mattered to him. This is a truth of value I had not received or believed for myself. At a heart level, I somehow had lost hope of having anything significant to contribute to those around me. Life's experiences had skewed my perception of worth. He began to say things to me like, "I have always loved you, Lucille." Okay. I wasn't going to cry. But he showed me one day, you know, how your fathers and daughters or fathers and children wrestle on the ground and wrestle and the father throws the kids way up in the air and the kids love it. And so he showed me a picture of him throwing me up in the air like that as a child and just roaring with laughter and saying, "Lucille, I've always loved you." You know, like he just loved me. And that just touched such a place in my heart and really has changed drastically the way I approach him now. So I now perceive him as being very approachable and fun to be with. He's never judgmental and he never has a finger of shame. He always greets me with a huge smile. I mean, he's always in a good mood. He always laughs. So I don't feel like I have to perform or measure up for him anymore. Our father-daughter relationship has become a place of healing and wholeness for me. And I don't, you know, have to go to him to get something. We can just hang out together and just be together. And he loves me and I matter, not my gifts and what I do. This truth has really helped me to enjoy his presence and relax into him. So the truth that hearts matter permeates in the teaching of Corpus. This is the truth of the gospel message, that we matter. And taking Corpus has helped me plug into this Jesus culture. It has really refreshed my perception and understanding of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit again. It's not like I didn't know this. I've been a Christian for over 30 years. But this is just like a whole new thing opening up for me. So it's, I recently asked someone if they'd seen a change in me in this past year. And their comment was, "Yes, you like Jesus more, you know?" That's pretty cool. I think that's pretty cool. So contemplating the life of Jesus in Corpus, I had always thought Jesus as a person kind of had a divine edge, not really subject to the things that I am as a person. And so now I see that he actually did encounter life as we do. So this gives me hope that his example in life is attainable and there's unlimited possibilities that await me with the Father's help walking with him. So developing a sense of community became a strong component of Corpus. The environment became a safe setting to wrestle with and express out loud. Like Ryan was saying, some things we just don't say out loud. Some of our beliefs that maybe don't align with the truth, but because of past hurts or disappointments or just things we believed.
So some beliefs I'm holding in my heart do not always line up with Jesus' truth for my life. And so it became a place to let go of the lies and then have the courage to receive the truth of what I am in Jesus. So through Corpus in this past year, my view of what success is has changed. Identity comes from faith in his complete work for me, not in what I do or what I have or what culture says I should be. That's a big one for me. Contemplating culture and how it influences us and what we decide to do because we think we should, because this is what everybody else does. But when you hold that up against what Jesus says about us, it kind of, you know, changes things and shows you the truth. So we often frame our lives by our experiences and our past, both past and present. And I feel I've learned again how to reframe my life, my thoughts, my hopes, my hurts, and dreams through applying the truth of the life, the death, the resurrection, and ascension of Christ to my daily circumstances. So this would, this truth, the life, the death, the resurrection, and ascension became our fixed point in Corpus. And this was pretty well drilled into us. Everything you heard was all about that. And I mean, that's foundation in our lives, and that's where it should spring from, right? So what is true of Jesus is true of me. So what is true of Jesus is true of you. So I would encourage you to consider the venue of Corpus. It's like, taking that concentrated time and commitment to, check out where are you on your journey, your Christian life. And it's worth the investment. It's worth the time. And I think it would be a fruitful thing to do. So thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. I think one of the themes that we see come up a lot is, I heard someone say it, she's not here today, Carol Norquist said to me, she said, I didn't learn anything new this whole year. I said, oh, great. And she goes, but I realized I knew it all, but it needed to move down to here. And so this idea that it's the truths we all know, but to learn how to leverage them for transformation. You make a statement like Jesus' life, death, resurrection, ascension. Great. But if we don't know how to leverage it to change everything, it's actually unhelpful. I'm going to invite Steve Funk to come forward. Steve's walked an incredibly beautiful, intentional journey, and he's a man that I deeply respect, with him and Pauline. And so I'm excited for you to share in his journey a little bit today.
Well, there are a lot of specific things that I could share, because I don't think that very many weeks went by as I was going through Corpus Christi where there were specific things in the gospel that I was able to apply to my heart and it resulted in some kind of life change. But I decided here to just share something that I kind of dragged into Corpus Christi with me, some baggage, and that's the issue of internet shopping. And now, I shared this once with Ron Kuykendall, and he said to me, Steve, that's kind of weird for a guy to be addicted to internet shopping. So let me assure you that I wasn't out looking for red jeans, powder blue jeans. Oh, I want them all. That's not me. We're talking about car parts, cowboy boots, nice shirts. About a year ago, I looked at my eBay feedback. Some of you are familiar with that. I guess I needed some validation, so I looked at my feedback because everybody says that you're A++++ and stuff like this. And in the last year, prior to that, I'd had about 150 transactions and was currently looking at about 12 to 15 per month. And that was just eBay. That wasn't Amazon and some of the other direct purchases. But it was something that I kind of justified. God had blessed me financially in my business. He blessed us as a family. We were giving a lot to the church. It wasn't causing financial hardship. And so it was just something that I dragged along with me to Corpus Christi. And then, as you've heard, Corpus Christi is about the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. And so life is a great place to start because, like you heard from the clip up there, is I had this kind of suspicion of God. Is he going to judge me? The way my life was going at any time, I was thinking that he was going to judge me. You know, maybe he's going to take away some of the things that he's given to me. I just had that suspicion. And so it was refreshing to start off Corpus Christi with the life of Christ and just learning that God has this self-revealing nature and that it is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. And so Hebrews 1, I think it says 3 here, I forgot my reading glasses. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. So Jesus Christ shows us who God is. And so as we studied the Gospels, I saw many examples of Jesus accepting sinners. He met people where they were, broken people, and it resulted in life change. And so that kind of spoke to me that my repentance follows his acceptance. It's not that I have to repent in order to get his acceptance. He accepts me first. And if he accepts me, God accepts me as well. And so that suspicion started to melt away. And with it, some of this internet shopping stuff too. It wasn't like there was a direct correlation that I could make, but it just started to melt away. And then we got into the death. And there's many gifts that come out of the death of Christ. My favorite is redemption, the marketplace image. It's about being bought back from slavery. So through Christ's blood, I'm saved from the law, from sin, and from death. And so one of my favorite verses in that regard is, Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. And that's from Galatians 5:1. But again, that was around December. I didn't really see a direct correlation. I continued to justify what I was doing in terms of the internet shopping, but it was starting to melt away as I spent more and more time in God's presence. I wasn't suspicious anymore. And when you lose that suspicion, you want to read the Bible, you want to pray, you want to spend time in his presence. Spending more time there means less time doing the other stuff. And then at some point in December, we have some pretty thick books that we read in Corpus Christi, and I was in a hotel room once, and it's nice to have some chewing gum for the mind sometimes, and so I took along a biography that my son had bought about somebody in the music industry, and I read through this thing and how the guy had struggled with alcohol primarily, as well as some other addictions, and it comes to the end of the book. And I actually brought it with me here today. Page 230. The book has 232 pages in total. And right near the end of that 230th page, he says, "But in the end, I know that I'm fatally flawed. In the end, I'm a slave to one master, and that master is sin." And then the other two pages, he goes and writes a song about that. And I thought, wow, what a way to end a book. What do I like better? Being a slave to one master, and that master is sin? Or do I like Christ has set us free to live a free life, so take your stand? Okay? This thing that I read here in the book is a lie. And it's a lie that I believed for most of my years as a Christian. I've been a Christian for 43 years. and just thinking that I'm a slave to sin. Okay, so we continued on, and I'm going to jump to the ascension. Because through the ascension, we receive the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm a living stone in the new temple of God, which is the church. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the church is also the temple of the Holy Spirit. And just like in the Old Testament, we had the tabernacle, we had the temple. And there was a lot of preparation in getting those things ready to experience God's presence. And so we had a session on the Holy Spirit and His presence. It was around the same time that I went to my first prayer vigil. And this is where it started coming together for me in terms of this internet shopping. Is I saw the preparation that people went through in terms of preparing for God's presence with the temple, with the tabernacle, and the same kind of presence that we need to have in our own hearts to prepare to experience Him individually and as a body. And I just thought, you know, all this internet shopping and all the looking for different things, the research that I was doing on some of those purchases was taking a lot of time. And it was a waste of time because it was actually distracting me. It was getting in the way of experiencing God's presence. So Ephesians 15 to 17, says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish but understand what the will of the Lord is." And that's when it kind of came together for me that this was a waste of time. And so the other verse that I clung to there was that nothing can separate us from His love, not even these distractions that I was engaging in were going to separate me from His love. And so what I did at that point is I claimed the truth. I took these lies, the lie that I'm fatally flawed, that I'm a slave to sin, and we literally take these things and we lay them at the foot of the cross. And in His place, we claim the truth that He set us free, that He's our source. Another one of the lies was that I was lacking. So I took that sense of lack, laid that at the foot of the cross, and claimed the freedom in Christ. About a week ago, I looked back at my eBay feedback in the last year. And the last year, it's been 50 transactions. So that's a third of what it used to be. In the last month, it was one. And I don't think it was even one that I did. So I'm going to be talking to one of my boys because I think they owe me some money. So this is just an example of how we can take the life, death. I skipped the resurrection in this case, went straight to the ascension. And apply the fullness of the gospel to our own experiences, to our heart. And I just encourage anybody to avail yourselves of these opportunities of Corpus Christi. And you can fill in the blank. For me, it was internet shopping. You know, what goes in the blank for you? And how can the fullness of the gospel apply to it? Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. I was trying to convince him all year, it's okay as long as you're buying it for me. But he didn't buy it. I think this is part of what we're getting at. I think Steve covers it really well in just saying, okay, what's, like, law and religion says change your actions. But the gospel says, I'll love your heart, which will change your actions. And I think, Steve, you did a great job of showing that. I'm going to invite Noelle to come forward and just share a little bit about her journey.
So, before this year at Corpus Christi, I didn't really feel like myself. Somewhere along the way, I lost who I was, and I could see this affecting my everyday life as a mom. So, being a mom, it seems every insecurity is shown, all inexperience peeks through, all judgment comes upon you, and you're always being tested. It's very humbling. Never mind the expectations put on mothers according to the latest Pinterest parenting advice or the latest article posted on Facebook about doing parenting the right way. So I'd say I was very raw when Corpus started this year. I thought horrible lies about myself, like I was a bad mom or I couldn't control myself in my outburst of emotion. I'm failing my children every time I get mad at them. I even thought that I was a failure because I couldn't keep up with just being the perfect mom. And so as a result, I thought I was producing misbehaved children. So I had a lot of deep-seated lies that needed to be uprooted in my heart. But the Lord has brought me so far in terms of revealing to me my true identity in Christ as his daughter and as a mom. I can stand here today and receive truths like what's true of Jesus is true of me. So God is my perfect father, so I am the perfect mother for my children. It's true that Jesus is righteous, and so I am good, and I'm a righteous mother, even in times when I'm under emotional distress. The truth is that when it feels like my kids don't care about me, I know God cares, and I'm important to him, and he is always pursuing me. God knows what's best for me, and I can receive his gifts through faith to be the best mother for my children. The truth is that I'm accepted because the Father accepts me through my adoption. I've died to my old identity, coated in lies, and Jesus has resurrected the true me, mirroring an image more like Christ. These lies have been defeated like Christ defeated death, and I'm resurrected in abundance, and I'm deserving of it. Now, if there's one thing I want people to know about Corpus, it's that how doable it is for everyone. So Tony and I really hummed and hawed at the beginning of the year to see if I should go alongside him this year and participate, considering I was pregnant with our third child under three. So it was, a big decision. And my due date was halfway through the school year, so it was a lot to consider. But honestly, I don't think this year could have gone any smoother for us. We have Ryan and Jackie and Jessica and Steven in town as family, and we use them a lot for babysitting, but they're in the same boat as us since they're in Corpus and working at the church, so we really had to rely on God to provide a babysitter. And so we have a really, really loving community group, and Christina Wickens and Byron Wickens, they just said that they would watch our kids for us on Thursday evenings when we had to go. And I just want to publicly thank them because we really could not have done it without you guys. So, and I also wanted to thank the Sunday school staff. They are so great. Like, Sunday school has become a second home for our children. They literally just fall asleep anywhere on a Sunday school helper or on the couch in there. It's just, they've made it such a home for them, and they go through Sunday like it doesn't even bother them, even though they're there all day. So it's really great. And once we had Lacey, I felt a really, really big sense of community in Corpus. Like, I didn't feel like I missed out on one class because I was holding Lacey or had to nurse her or whatever. Like, Toy came up to me all the time and just took her and loved on her for me, or anybody, really. They would just come and just be her comfort so that I could soak in every last word of every teach. So, Corpus is definitely a safe place where anybody can come and find community if they choose to. It's a way for God to reveal how much he approves of you and favors you. And our individual journeys, finding our identity in Christ, is taking back ground from the enemy. And Corpus is a means by which we can support each other and a way that we can find freedom in Christ.
One of the things we set out to do at the very beginning was to make this accessible for someone who's a full-time mom or is in a full-time career or pursuing different things. And so that was one of the things at the very onset that we said, we want this to be accessible to the whole congregation, not just to those who can go without working or those kind of things. And so we continue to see just a lot of fruit in full-time moms and guys pursuing careers, entrepreneurs, business, all these different things, and just seeing a lot of favor on that. Lastly, I'd like to invite Daniel LeClaire to give just a little snippet of his year. He started the year by heckling me at the beginning of most classes.
Well, I have to say that Corpus Christi, it's been an amazing journey. At first, I didn't want to go. My wife made me. She's like, come on, just go. I really want to go, but I don't want to go without you. So I was kind of like, well, I've already been to Bible school. I've been a youth pastor. What more can I learn from going to another Bible school? It's kind of what I thought. But it definitely wasn't that. Before we started Corpus Christi, like when we moved here, we came from a place of like really deep hurt. I've been burned by churches in the past, and when we moved here, I was at the point of, I don't want to have anything to do with church or anything like that anymore. I was just floating along without any purpose, no real sense of identity of who I was in Christ. I felt as though I had passed, that my time had passed, that whatever God had for me was done. Like it was no more. My destiny and my calling was done, and I just had to live out the rest of my life and die and go to be with Jesus, and that was it. After Corpus, I began to have a realization of who I am in Christ, and that I am His son, and that He is my Father. And really emphasize that in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. I also have this realization, it was kind of a revelation of the fullness of who Christ is and what He's done lives in me, and all that He's accomplished is in me, so that I can then by faith accomplish all that Christ asked me to do because He's already completed it in me. And then I can rest in the fact that He's already done it for, in, and through me. And this was just like it was huge. I couldn't believe it. I was just like, all I have to do is receive. All I have to do is just rest and know the fact that I just have to accept Him, and that all of those gifts and callings and abilities that Christ had put in me that I had buried, He began to resurrect in my life. And I began to put those lies down and put those who I believed I was, a bad father, a bad husband, a bad leader, a failure to my family, to my wife, to my kids, to everybody that I knew. I began to be able to lay those things down at the foot of the cross and pick up what Christ had created me to be, which is a man of God and a son, His son. And I would say for anybody who's considering Corpus Christi is a place where you begin to rediscover what God's plans for you are. If you're feeling like, you know, I'm done, my time is past, who I am is, I'm just a shell of who Christ has called me to be, that's not the truth. The truth is you all are called, everyone is called, and you all have gifts and abilities, and you all have things to give, to put to the body of Christ. And Corpus Christi is a place where you can come and rediscover that and know that you are accepted for who you are, that you do not have to do anything. It is a safe place for you just to come and bare your heart and let the Lord just put it all back together.
I think just to close, I think our hope continually is to say, We want to roll out a red carpet that's easy to follow into what is already yours. So if we're stuck on this outside with a ticket, with the right to get in and to enjoy all of these things, they are ours, paid for. Then what does it look like to roll out the carpet in such a way that we say, come on in and enjoy all of this. Receive, to make sure nothing was missed. So we don't do this today assuming that you don't have this or somehow that you've done something wrong. It's just to say we want to ensure that we never, for no one, miss any of it. For some of you, it may be, I get a lot of this, I just feel like I'm missing a couple pieces. We just want to make sure this is made available for you. This morning in prayer, as I reflect on the cross, I reflect on the resurrection, I reflect on his life, that God comes in flesh and he ascends and is seated on high. As I reflect on that gospel, his death alone, it compels me to look at my life and say, I want transformation and change in me equal to what was paid. At this point, when I look at Jesus' death and I look at what was paid and I look at what has all happened in me, I go, oh, I'm not sure you got a good deal. I think you might have overpaid for this. I want my Christianity to reflect the cost. I want the change and the power within me to reflect how much was paid. I want people to look at my life and go, what happened there? And so I think this is just one of the ways that we just want to make the path clear and we want to make sure nobody misses it. Because we have to stand before Jesus someday and go, we did everything we could. We made it as clear as we could. So let me ask a few questions of you just even now as you pray. When looking at your life and looking at your Christianity and looking at your closeness with God and looking at your addictions and your struggles and your weaknesses, is this it? Is this all you have to hope for? Are you truly happy? Are you on the outside of his benefits? Or are they in you? Has he changed you? Have you allowed him to? Let's pray together. So Jesus, I would like to invite by your Spirit right now the peace and the comfort that you would have for the hearts of every believer here today. That to the disappointment and the discouragement and to the pain of hoping for more change, hoping for more of you and not seeing it, would you come to that place of the heart and speak? I have not left you. The journey is not over. You are not forgotten. You are not overlooked. You are not a disappointment. I have more for you. I have good gifts for you. I have a future for you. I have health and wholeness and freedom for you. So school aside, if this is you today, we would love to pray with you. We'd love to join our faith with you and serve you and just give you good gifts today. Just love on your heart. Remove some of those lies and those wounds and disappointments. That's why we love this space up here, is because Jesus can do that in a moment. I will take this out of you and give you this good gift. That he loved you enough to come for you, die for you, and destroy the grave for you. And he ascended because he is still invested and involved in your life and in your heart, and has good things from heaven to give to you today. Not just in a school, not later, now. Good gifts now, because he's that good and he's that available. So we just want to invite you, if that's you today, please feel free to come and get prayed for here. Or you can find someone who is in Corpus this year and ask them to pray for you. But don't leave without getting more of Jesus.